think it was Yogi Berra that once said, it ain't over until it's over.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
It's so fitting that this election here in this very strange year of 2020 should have so many twists and turns and issues. I don't care who you are, but there seems to be a rush to push Mr. Biden into the office of president. Even formerly reliable Fox News is now showing its colors and trying to curry some favor for the future. I don't understand it. There are so many strange things that have happened in this election, and the pandemic has been the excuse to do all kind of things that we never would have dreamed of allowing 20, 25, 30 years ago. The idea of mailing ballots to people that may not have even voted in years and just, you know, mail them everywhere to everybody. Security risk and the fraud risk is way too high. But this rush to call him president-elect, it's not even legally correct. He's not the president-elect, Joe Biden. Until you get past that special date in December when the Electoral College meets, then he is the president-elect. Do I believe there is voter fraud? Contrary to what Facebook would want you to believe, or the New York Times, or CNN, or any of the major networks that just jumped on the bandwagon congratulating Joe Biden on his theft of a win. That's what it is. I think that the firewalls were set up in a few strategic places that were close the last time around. And when you look at the statistical data, a lot of it doesn't make any sense how you could pull this off. But apparently, that's what the swamp wants. Even today, did you notice the stock market went up because of the announcement of a vaccine for COVID-1984 that will 90% effective? I think that they knew that a week or so ago. The president just couldn't say a word. Big Pharma does not like Donald Trump. Big Pharma, hey, they love Joe Biden. They love the Democrats because that keeps the billions of dollars flowing into their coffers. Big Pharma doesn't care about you. It only cares about how much money they can get from you. They've proven that over and over again. My guest today, regular on this program, we try to get him on once or twice a week, Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. And he and I have been trying to scratch our heads in the numbers. And my question to open the program: do you think there's the distinct possibility that maybe the networks called things and made him president-elect just a wee bit too soon?
Absolutely. Of course they did. They were making the call in states before anything had even approached a winning number for either. So they were already making the call. Look, this was predetermined for Biden, period. Mm-hmm. And that we see all over the place in this country. My issue with what's going on now is, why are we not truly standing up and exposing everything that needs to be exposed? There's kind of a lull. And some people are saying this is a lull before the storm, mm-hmm. where, you know, then there's rumors of a sting operation, and Trump's smart and he knows that, you know, that they were going to do this. So he had planned ahead of time how to catch them. I don't know. I just know that there is a lot of shame in our election process, for sure.
Well, I know this much. I mean, I get a lot of people because of this radio program now that are taking the time to send me everything from emails to just things that they think I need to be made aware of. And you're right, the sting operation with the blockchain coding in the ink on certain ballots, whether it's true or not, I can't tell you. Am I buying it? My instincts, and believe me, I've been around the block too many times, say, you know, I think I'm going to wait this one out because I just have this lack. I'm sorry, but there are people that make a living on radio promoting conspiracy theories, and they've got a following that just follows them wherever the leader takes them. And unfortunately, oftentimes they get let down, but they're hoping that maybe one day my fearless leader will get it right. And I think we just need to be a little bit more pragmatic and not jump into these, yeah, it's a big sting operation. My gut says no, not yet. I may be wrong, but I just don't feel it. What about you?
Well, it was the whole thing with the idea of Q, right? Q and nine. Mm-hmm. People want hope. They want hope. And that's why these quote unquote conspiracy theories thrive. Yeah. So is it a big sting operation? I'm with you. My gut says, you know what? I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to sit back and see what happens. I'm not going to entertain that as some great, wonderful possibility. I'm really not. I'm going to look and see about the real world corruption going on in different states and in different counts with the ballot. That's what I'm going to watch right now. If a sting operation happens, okay, then I was wrong, you know? But until then, I'm not going to put all my cookies there. Secondly, we need to be praying for our president right now, as well as even Biden. We need to pray for both of them and pray for this nation. I would like to see, regardless of who wins, if it's Biden, then I would like to see us at least come to a place where there isn't rioting anymore in our cities and in our nation.
Yes.
I may not like the outcome of an election, but you know what? As my father used to say, well, in 4 years, we vote him out.
Or in 2 years, we can, you know, tie his hands by voting the Congress and the Senate out. Then, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I have a lot of opinions about this. Number one, you know, and as I said at the top of the program, we have to record these programs a day or two sometimes in advance because of where they air, because of how we have to get them distributed. It's not a live program. And so this program is being recorded before Monday. And I just want to make it clear that I looked at the TV set, and I'll be honest, I was watching Newsmax today instead of anybody else. Just I ever since Chris Wallace did the debate, I've been kind of boycotting most of what's on Fox News these days. I just was just pushed. It was just like a
too
bridge.
Much.
It was a bridge too far for me. And they keep putting them on the TV set. I know they try to be fair and balanced, but now they're bringing on people that, in my opinion, are truly unbalanced. I mean, to be on the air. So if I want to see nothing but leftism with not any other conservative voice, hey, I got CNN or MSNBC if I want to go really weird. But you know, to pretend that some of these people that you're putting on the air are even credible is ridiculous. And Chris Wallace is a partisan. I'm sorry, but he is. And calling, I think Fox made a mistake. Once again, we'll know, by the time this program airs, this may be already resolved issue. But, you know, calling Arizona before, you know, so soon, I think may be a problem because it's still at the time of this recording a bit unresolved. And honestly, for the press, you and I were talking about this before we got on. This is where I want to have you take us into next. Having the complicit press, in other words, Pravda, which is what NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, you know, we're just going to call them Pravda for the rest of the program. The state-run media that invents their own truth. They, on Saturday, decided and took it upon themselves to declare Joe Biden the president-elect, even though they don't have the authority to call him the president-elect. Only the Electoral College does, and that's only after they have met and voted. Until that, this is just a statistical or a presumed winner, not a guaranteed winner. And I believe it's really being done for one purpose and one purpose only, to delegitimize the election in the event that for some reason, whether this week, next week, or never, but if it were to happen that we discover fake ballots and cheating and the election goes back to Trump, they can delegitimize his presidency as stolen on day one. And there'll be a scorched earth policy to the rubes that would have put that man in office. What do you think?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. They would use that. They would say he stole it again, or he's the one who actually stole it. I agree with you. These things have been what I call war gamed, right? Every political process has. Who was it? FDR, mm-hmm. who said, you know, nobody, you don't get elected into office. You're chosen to be put in office. Is that the deep state? Might be.
Oh, of course.
It might be. You know, years ago, there was, and this isn't conspiracy, but there was a thing called Operation Mockingbird. And that is when the CIA put their people in positions in the news media mm-hmm. In order to take over the news media. Now, you and I are told that that no longer exists, if you believe that.
No, I know.
But, you know, but they're part of the deep state. That's even been called out, that there are those who say they're part of the deep state, and some of these other intelligence agencies are part of it. We're living in a time where our news media is corrupt. Our politics are corrupt. Mm-hmm. Our school system and universities are corrupt.
They're beyond corrupt.
Yes. So we're sitting here. Corruption abounds everywhere. You and I and those listening, okay, are like a small island in a sea of wickedness. And we're trying to navigate through this world. Mm-hmm. That's where I find my hope. My hope is I'm not of this world.
Amen.
I'm in it.
Amen.
But I'm not of it. So like you had said last time, I believe we spoke, we don't put our trust in princes. I do, however, put it in a king. Mm-hmm. And I'm a child of a kingdom, and I worship and serve a king. And so, yeah, in that sense, I'm a monarchist, Bob.
I guess I'm in the same boat. Let me throw a couple of thoughts that are crossing my mind. The media has been in the tank for decades for the Democrat Party. Not that they believe in their ideals of all things. They really don't. But they don't understand why they support it, but they do. I think it's because of a moral issue, because, see, the Democrats are on board with any moral deviancy that's out there, and they're willing to mainstream it as normal. At least that's the perception. Follow where I'm coming from on this. And so if you're in Hollywood and you're a Tom Hanks, you don't even know how much money you have in the bank. You have accountants and you have lawyers. You've got, you know, Team Hank out there taking care of your best interest. You may not be old enough, but I can remember back in my young radio days, there was a song, "Life's Been Good to Me" by Joe Walsh, and he talks about, you know, I tore up, you know, in a hotel room, but I have accountants to pay for that. They're not even aware of how much they have. They just know they have more than enough, and I think that's one of the problems that Hollywood has, is they have, quote, so much. And they don't even know how much they have. They're just very comfortable. And they don't deal in figures. They deal in feelings. And so they can't identify with people. They've forgotten, if they came out of humble roots and living out of their car, they've completely, like the Barbra Streisands, they're like, what was the queen's name in France? Let him eat cake, you know, yeah. Antoinette. But, I mean, this is where Hollywood is. And whatever moral deviancy that they celebrate in their own personal lives, those that they support in politics say it's okay. You can, that's just fine. And there's where I believe that's why Hollywood is so in the tank. It's not that you think they want to have increased taxes on them? No, that's why they have a battery of lawyers and accountants taking care of their needs. They don't do their own tax returns.
No. And so, look, they scratch each other's back, right? That's the way we look at it. Mm-hmm. They are pushing the same agenda. Unfortunately, you know, we look at it. There's two ways of looking mm-hmm. at history. You know, there's the accidental view of history, and then there are those who believe in a conspiratorial view of history.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about, you know, UFOs and all this other stuff. I'm talking about people planning outcomes, people planning what they want to see, agenda-driven committees, okay, that get together. And yeah, they're not in a dark room somewhere. They're actually in nice hotels, and they're very wealthy people, but they mm-hmm. work with the news. They work with Hollywood. They work with the other political parties. They're not enemies. Very often, they're working for an agenda. You and I are seeing corruption everywhere, and we want to throw our hands up and say, hey, what's going on? The world is corrupt everywhere. Mm-hmm. And yet we're seeing the entire world marching in one direction.
Absolutely.
And why is that? Because it takes two legs to march. You need a left and a right. Mm-hmm. And they both bring you in the same direction. And we're sitting here watching a global agenda happening, not just with coronavirus, but it most certainly is being used for many other agendas.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And we're watching it globally happen. And instead of just sitting here and looking at, say, Hollywood or the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, we have to sit back and say, what is happening globally, and why are they all marching in step together?
Mm-hmm.
What's the agenda here? The you know, again, as the Romans say, cui bono, who's benefiting?
That's right.
There's Absolutely. A very few people who are pulling the marionette strings on our politicians, on actors in Hollywood, on news anchors, on TV. These individuals are on marionette strings, and they're dancing to the same tune.
That's right.
And That's we right. have to say, who's pulling the strings?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I want to remind everybody, you're listening to the program Truth to Ponder, and we have a website, Truth2Ponder. Couldn't get the word to use. It's Truth2Ponder.com. My guest on the program is the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. I just wanted to remind you of who my guest is today. And I do want to thank there's been a lot of people that are using the U.S. mail to write the program. And when I first started this program back at the end of August, I wondered if anybody would actually send an email, let alone a card or letter. And hopefully over the next several days, I'm going to sit down and write some letters to those that took the time to write to me. And I apologize that I'm a little bit behind, but with all that's going on in the news and other things that the Lord has been laying on my heart in terms of preparing God's people for a different time, I just haven't had the time to write as many letters as I would like to, so I would ask your indulgence and forgiveness up front. And also, you can find us, like I say, on the web at truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder. And if you send email, it's just bob@truth2ponder.com. I'm the only one that gets those emails. Just so you know, this is not a large corporation, a large ministry. I'm not some kind of an employee or the president of some big thing. This is just me and a handful of people that I bring online to be on this program. And because of a gift that was given to start this, we got started. And every little bit that comes in is it's just going to pay for shortwave time. It's not to pay me or my guest or anybody else. This is strictly a ministry, and I want you to understand that. You can use the website. Every little bit helps, and you can do it from the website, do it by the mail, whatever. And I know a lot of people, and Timothy, when you get back on here with me just a second, I know a lot of people are skeptical about smartphones, and they're skeptical about devices like Alexa and what have you in the home. And I've just concluded, as a guy that has been hooked to technology since I could first tear apart a little AM radio when I was about six, and then by the time I was nine, I could put it back together again. I don't worry about technology so much. It can be used for good and for evil. I don't mind the fact that, yes, I have an Alexa device in my house, believe it or not. And I use it for certain things, and I don't care that it hears some of what I'm saying. The world has more than one way to track the things that you're doing, so I don't get as worried about it as some do. But if you have an Alexa device, you may try something. I couldn't get the phrase I wanted to work, but I did get this one to work. And if anybody has such a device, go Alexa, open Truth Unashamed. Let me say that again. Go Alexa, open Truth Unashamed. And guess what? You'll hear the latest daily podcast that way. If we overwhelm the system with lots of Christians doing small things, we won't be a big target when the tech tyrants are coming after us. So you know, everybody needs to do their own little bit. I believe the church is being prepared for a different time. And this is where I want to kind of move our conversation today and even tomorrow. We know the politics are corrupt, and that we cannot deny. So Timothy, what do we do moving forward, regardless of who ends up being the president? Because if Biden is the president, there'll be a set agenda to move forward. And if Trump's the president, it's going to be nothing but impeach, impeach the Russians, the Ukrainians, China. It's going to be delegitimized presidency. What do we do?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to take a step back and we're going to shore up our spiritual life. We're going to look at both sides and we're going to not be divided. Is Biden a human being?
I would assume.
Is Kamala Harris a human being?
I would assume.
Created in the image of God? Well, if that's the case, then I do need to pray for them.
Absolutely.
Wish the best for them.
Absolutely.
Pray that God reaches their heart and can use them for his glory. Mm-hmm. These are things we have to do. If you find it in your heart that you can't do that, then that's an issue with you and the Lord. So the first thing is we cannot be divided and we cannot mm-hmm. hold resentment, anger, and bitterness. We may not be happy with an outcome because of what people believe, but do not hate the person. We need to pray for their salvation,
absolutely.
To be honest.
You know, when you think about it, there's so many people out there today. And if they go back at some point in their life, they were sinners. We all are. But they were in an unsaved state, many people that I know today. And they never knew who the Lord Jesus was. It was not preeminent in their life. They lived for themselves. And they were blinded. And see, this is what the Bible teaches. To those that do not have fear of God, there is a blindness to these people. They cannot see what they're doing. I mean, they are literally living in darkness. And sin loves darkness. So there are a lot of people who think that it's all wonderful. And let's see if we can explain why people would overlook the fact that their gas prices, if Biden ultimately is the real winner, not what the networks declare. I've said it for 5 years now. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, CNN headlines, and MSNBC, they are all spiritually, intellectually, and journalistically bankrupt. They are nothing but Pravda. They're just mouthpieces for the deep state. And they get paid extremely well to be stupid on television. I mean, I see some of the things that some of these people say, and I've used this term before. They must have syphilis of the brain to say some of the things that they say and believe. I can't find an excuse for it. But right. They believe it wholeheartedly. But then again, when somebody is living in deception, and that's the key, they're living in deception. Mm-hmm. Well, what's going to happen? They're going to see through the rose-colored glasses only the things that they want to see. When you got a Savannah, what's her name, Guthrie, or is that the correct last name? I suddenly was forgetting. You know, she gets paid $1 million a month to be an idiot on NBC. I mean, you have these people get paid millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. They are shielded in their gated communities, and they're telling you how you must live your life.
Yeah,
and these people are not my God. They're not. They don't even have the common sense God gave seafood, let alone the common sense to tell most people how to live their lives. They have a pretty face, and they're buying into a very narcissistic agenda where everything's about me, and that's what Satan wants you to focus on: is you, not the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right. And that's why we call, you know, these people talking heads or whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. because most of what they're saying, you know, in your gut is a lie or they're omitting so much truth.
Absolutely.
So we cannot go by them. No. We really do have to find that alternative news, right? That, mm-hmm. like this show, Truth to Ponder, okay? Because we are speaking truth. We're trying to dig up truth in all fairness, we are looking at and documenting truth if we can, and bringing it to people to shine that light on the darkness.
Absolutely.
Okay, because we want that to be there. There's another phrase called truth to power, because truth is powerful. And obviously Orwell knew it, and others, mm-hmm. and they said preaching truth in revolutionary times is a revolutionary thing to do. You're going to get thrown into jail or so forth, mm-hmm. just for the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? No man comes to the Father except through me. That's what we're preaching. That's the light we're shining. You are to be salt and light in this world. That's what we're doing. We have to get into the politics. We have to get into the corruption. Ultimately, we're exposing the deception, and we're hoping and praying that people out there are going to wake up from the deception. But not everyone does. As a matter of fact, most people are very comfortable in the world that has been created for them. And they sit there, they're very comfortable. You know, we think things happen by accident. We think our choices are our choices in culture. It's surprising if I were to tell you that the things happening in our culture today were given to us on a platter to choose from.
Amen.
Somebody else put those things there, and we're thinking we came up with this ourselves. I'm reminded of the hippies in the 60s, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Dropout, tune in, you know, all these other things. Well, let me tell you something. They were all doing their own thing, man. They went out there, I'm just going to do my own thing. And yet they all had flowers in their hair.
Yep.
They all had bell bottoms. They all had fringe coats. They weren't doing their own thing. They were all following one another. And mm-hmm. it was all given to them. Right. So doing your own thing is usually standing against the culture.
Absolutely.
And not for the sake of doing that, but for the truth's sake in doing that.
We've got to take a break coming up here at the bottom of the hour real quick. And I want to ask you before we do the break real quick, how can people find you if they have questions for you? They can always contact the radio program at truth2ponder.com. But Timothy, how do people get a hold of you?
If people want to get a hold of me, they can get a hold of me at drtimhart2@gmail.com. That's drtimhart2@gmail.com.
Okay, so Tim, heart to heart, or heart to heart, mm-hmm. @gmail.com.
drtimhart2@gmail.com.
And we will be right back. Got a couple of things I want to get into in our, shall we say, preparation for a very different and unique time. It doesn't matter who wins the election. And I want to say this, and Timothy made this very clear. We as Christians have got to be very cautious in how we deal with other people in this election. It is an easy temptation. I fall for it too. You have anger, you have a bitterness because you see everything collapsing that is good around you and a world that is so blind and comes after you for what you believe. They'll say, how can you vote for a guy like Trump? He's just an evil man. And I try to ask the question, so tell me all the evil policies that he put into place over the last 5 years. And then they'll say, well, he's a racist. Well, give me one bit of evidence, real solid evidence, not a misquote, you know, somewhere in his life that made him a racist. They never have an answer. They don't have the facts on their side. They just know that somehow that you've got to be woke and with the system. You've got to be woke and behind Joe to be, you know, tolerant. And yet they're the most intolerant people. But we have to meet them with the love of Jesus Christ. And man, that's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. This is Truth to Ponder.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of our Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I want to thank the many people that have taken the time to mail a letter, send an email, or just make contact with me through the website that you are listening to the program Truth to Ponder. we do this as an act of obedience in many ways. I just feel that I need to share a message, not just a political one. Yeah, today we're leaning more toward politics, and I promise this week we'll move to something else that I think is equally as important. But today I'm just trying to put a perspective with my guest, Dr. Timothy Gales, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. As we look at the world, I said at the beginning of the program, and I reminded you before, this program is recorded a couple of days in advance. So we may be talking about things that are already resolved. As fast as the world sometimes moves, a day can be an eternity when you're trying to get things done on a program like this. There are times we can get it done same day, but the Monday, Tuesday, and Friday editions have got to be, for special reasons, recorded a bit early. And so if we talk about something that may have already been resolved, understand, and maybe we got it right, maybe we got it wrong, and that's a good way for us to assess how we are doing as we come to you with this radio program and podcast. As I said, going into the bottom of the hour, and I know a lot of people do not trust computers. I understand that. They don't want one. They don't want a smartphone. I understand that. I know the dangers, and I know the good and the bad, and I make a conscious decision. The day may come when I pull the plug on all these devices, but that day is not yet today. And I want to use every tool out there while we yet have the time. And this is what people have got to understand. I am not ready personally to head out to the wilderness and leave my smartphone and all that stuff behind. Am I being deceived? No. I'm just watching the signs as Jesus told his disciples to do. And while we are in this time, that means I have a greater obligation. Dr. Gales has a greater obligation for us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope that we can find. St. Paul and the disciples did not retreat from the world and disappear into caves, never to be heard from again after the resurrection. They were in the world sharing the good news. And Timothy, I'm welcoming you back on our second part of the program. Let me tell you something that is really on my mind. Regardless, and it may be resolved by the time we're doing the program, it may be December or even January before we resolve who is the president of the United States. Don't listen to the mainstream media. They have been in the tank. They won't ask the hard questions of Biden. They just won't do it because they were doing everything to prop him up. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who wins this election. What matters is being ready for when Jesus comes again. And even with Biden in office, we still have a little time, but that time is ticking away. What do we need to be doing right now if we truly claim Jesus Christ? And if you think your church is coming back the way that it was, I have some news for you. I highly doubt it. What's your thoughts?
Oh, I agree. You know, I always fall back on Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Well, there's your marching orders.
Yes.
That you understand and know him. He's the one who exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. We're salt and light. We do our part, but we need to not glory in political parties.
Absolutely.
We need to not glory in the things of this world. We just need to glory in the fact that we understand and know him, because that is the key. You know, you don't have to be a theologian In the early church, the second, third century, when they were and going out into the deserts, the desert fathers, a theologian was not somebody with their doctorate in theology. The theologian, who they called the theologian, was an individual that knew God personally.
Yes.
That had a day-by-day relationship with him, minute by minute. They had a personal relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
That was seen, and they actually called those individuals theologians.
Yes.
Because all theology is doxology. It is the praise and glory of God in your life, in praxis, how we live. And that is what we have to remember when all else is said and done. It comes down to having that relationship with Christ. And sometimes we think we do. We think we do because we have a church relationship. Mm-hmm. Or we think we do because we were raised and went to church every week. You know, we could put another notch in our belt that we went last week or whatever. But it really comes down to that relationship with him. When we have that, it's not that I'm preaching on the street corners to everybody. But my very walk, the way I live my life, preaches. And that's why the early Christians were also called people of the way.
The way, absolutely. I can remember, you know, you're talking about studying theology, and I know you've done it. You've probably even more so than I. But a lot of churches, and I'm trying to be super polite here. I don't want anybody to read between the lines. Some church bodies look for the credentials of men over the credentials of God in choosing who should be the pastor of their church. And I can tell you, as I look out there in the world today, there are a lot of people that went to a lot of seminaries, and they have their you know, MDivs, their Masters of Divinity, and their Doctorate of Divinity. And I'm telling you, those people out there are the last people I want to be pastoring my church, because they have a degree, all right, but there are a lot of them that have a degree in another gospel, as St. Paul warned about. And so some of these people coming out of a number of these seminaries, to me, are very suspect. They're damaged goods, because they lean toward the biggest enemy we have is not a political party, or who is the president, or who is a senator, or who is a congressman. They are the least of my worries. Honestly, I woke up the other day on Saturday, and the Lord just laid on my heart, you know, don't be disparaged by what you see in the news. It's not our job to fix the earth for Jesus. It's not our job. We can't fix this earth. This earth, what does the Bible teach us? This earth is already what? Condemned. It's already condemned. So what's there to fix? What is there to fix? There's nothing to fix. This world has been engulfed in sin, and it is heading toward its ultimate end, and we know it. Salvation is given, you know, through Jesus Christ. I can remember you were talking before about the things we should do. When I was a little child, I can remember one of the first anthems I ever sang as a little child in a church. And the words still ring in my mind to this day. Let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example pure. Those words are still there. And it's not like, let us walk with Jesus and fix our political situation. No, it's not that. That's not our calling.
Well, it's not our calling in that sense to go fix the political issue, okay? We try to do right. We try to vote. We try to do the things we're supposed to do according to truth and to the best of our ability.
Exactly.
However, when we're walking with Christ is when we actually can change things. Look, all creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Mm-hmm. We're told that in Romans, which means as we, as human beings, come to know Christ and begin to live godly, holy lives, creation will respond to that. All mm-hmm. things will respond to that. And that's what we have to remember. This is a walk with the Lord day by day, which will help the world per se. Is there going to be a new heaven and new earth? Absolutely. That we know in the eschaton or the end of time. And what you said about theology degrees, absolutely. I have three of them. And mm-hmm. yet I could care less. Listen, we go through hard times in life. And I suspect we're going to go through real hard times soon.
I believe
it. When I trained ministers, when I sat back and talked to ministers or wanted to hire them for a job, they would come in, they always show me their degree, their Master of Divinity, whatever. And I always pushed it away and said, I don't care about that. I want to get to know you. I want to see you interact with my people. Mm-hmm. I want to see how you function out there as a man. I'll look at your degree later, but that I've seen guys with degrees who've destroyed churches.
Oh, yeah.
That means nothing to me. What I want to see is if you know him and if you follow what he's telling you, mm-hmm. because that will become readily apparent to me. And in the long run, okay, Moses was taught all the information of the Egyptians. He was schooled in the best schools.
Oh, yeah.
With all of the arts and sciences of his day, okay? And for 40 years, he had all of that. But did God use him? No. No. God sent him into the desert. And he made him sit there for 40 years.
Yes.
And he made Moses earn what I call the BD degree, his backside of the desert degree.
Yep.
And after he earned that, God said, now I can use you.
You know, there are a lot of, I'm not going to name it, but there's some denominations out there that have what I call a severe case of Dr. Itis.
Yep.
And what it boils down to is that they feel like they're an inferior church if on their sign in front of their building it says, the Reverend, you know, Bob Jones mm-hmm. or Bob Smith or whatever, they like to have it to be the Reverend, or instead of the Reverend, they want to have that Dr. Tom Smith or Dr. Mm-hmm. whatever is in our church because we're smarter, we're better, we know more, and yep. we're not a bunch of redneck hillbillies with a mill, you know, town pastor. We've got a guy that has a doctorate.
Yep.
And who did Jesus call to be his disciples? Did he call the doctors of his day?
Nope.
Did he call those that have the highest education of the day?
No. And that's what I say. He didn't go to the yeshiva schools and find the you know, the top theologians and theology
but
class.
But some churches are determined they got to do that or they're just not going to be a really solid church and we're going to look embarrassed. We need to have that. We need a doctorate degree and we need 4 years of seminary and we need or cemetery, whichever you want to call it.
Right.
You know, and yeah, I mean, look, I finally get it all together in my own life, but it's not the most important thing to judge what I've done in my pastoral life, in what I've done in that work. Jesus
Absolutely.
Trained his disciples, and we train each other, but we've put it into the institutions of men now, and somehow I think that's how we may have corrupted a lot of what is in this world today. I mean,
absolutely, because we rely on those degrees. Okay, I have my degrees, but mm-hmm. that wasn't from my going to get them. In other words, I got your standard degree because of ministry, but because mm-hmm. you had to do that. However, I didn't choose to go for my doctorate. It was a boss that I had who said to me, I want you to go get your doctorate. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, I've been in school for like 15 years. I've got 5 children already. I mm-hmm. said, I'm getting older. No. And then he looked at me and said, well, how about if I pay for all of it?
Well, in that case.
Tell me about that. Oh, he said, yes.
Well,
and it was clear that God set that up. And my thing was, all right, Lord, if you've opened that door fully paid for, then you have a reason for it. So I'll do it for that because he opened the door And, you know, he used it, and I used it when I deal with people who are dying and so forth. That's part of what I do. So we have to look at this. I don't disparage education, but I don't worship it. I don't lift it up and say, we've got to have these degrees. How many letters behind your name is going to mean something? No, it's not. I went to in the Appalachia area. I went into a little church. There was a person, a gentleman up there who was preaching, okay? It was horrendous to the average person. They would hear it, couldn't string sentences together properly. Words sounded horrible. But I gotta tell you, the message went right to the heart.
Absolutely.
This individual knew Christ like nobody I met in seminary. And I want you to know, this is how God uses people. He goes and he takes the off-scouring of the world, the broken cisterns, and he uses our brokenness for his glory. So you can't glory in yourself.
Amen.
It's not because I have a doctor. It's not because I have an MDiv. It's because the Lord touched me and he qualified me where I was not qualified.
There's an old hymn. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time. And I that's what I look at.
Yeah.
You know, his cross will tower over all of the wrecks of time, our destruction, the things that we've done to ourselves, the things we've done to each other. The cross will stand out and above all of it. And this is what we have to remember. You're talking about your degrees. I earned a few finally, but I'm looking up here when I got them. You know, I'm in my little tiny office studio accommodation here at our place in the mountains. And for me, the Lord just said, we spent a lot of time up here. This is my sanctuary at the moment. And we'll get back to our other state, and I'll have another office down there. But the Lord just said, leave these things here in this place. And it reminds me, I can see my ordination papers. I can see my degree stuff that I finally got later in life. I didn't get any of that stuff till I was after 50 years of age, except the ordination. That was when I was in my 40s, before I ever got started into that. I was happily content as a radio announcer and engineer. And God uses those talents. And we're going to be running out of time here. And I want to just kind of set the stage for what we're... I'm sitting here right now, and something tells me when I say these two things are going to resonate to you. We can sit here and talk about COVID-19 and our case demic. Yeah, there are still people getting very ill, and there may be some people dying, but that line is rather flat compared to months ago. Mm-hmm. And where this case demic goes, we can talk about that maybe some other day. As we watch it play out, I think that we need to wait about a week and see where those numbers are going. But here's what's on my heart. Right now, put the pandemic behind you, put the presidential election behind you for the moment. Regardless of what the outcome is, we still have the same work to do. And I believe that's where the church has been in deep trouble. We're not doing the work. If I was to say I need you back on tomorrow to talk about what are these signs of a one world religion, would that be a good place to start? And what do we as true followers of Christ do to, shall we say, combat that? What's your thoughts for doing that for tomorrow? And what comes to mind when I say the one world church?
Syncretism. Ecumenism and syncretism, and I mean ecumenism in the one world church view, okay, and syncretistic religion. Syncretism is combining and melding all these religions together, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, all of these things kind of mishmashing them all together in what I call an amorphous blob, and then saying this is the new spirituality for all people. That is where we're headed, because it will be unified, although completely diverse within, because it will have no truth And that's where relativism and the mystery of iniquity has brought relativism to today, so they could form this one world church. And I would say that's where we need to start, because we need to show people what they're seeing, connect the dots so that they can now see it from Christ's perspective, from the biblical perspective. And once you see it, you cannot unsee it. You know it's there. And that's what it is. You talked about the word deception. Well, let's expose this one world religion that is here and is getting more prominent as we go forward.
My guest today on the program is the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales, good friend of this program, and what a wonderful resource I have in Dr. Gales. I hope many of you are learning from him. We truly live in a very unique and strange time. There's no doubt about that. I've been talking about that on the weekend program for several years. And each year we seem to inch closer to, well, a new reality and a new world. And in many ways, one that I choose not to want to live in, because there's so much you have to give up of yourself, your faith, and your family to live in such a world. I was reading just today an article where the New York State Bar Association, they voted that they think that the government should have full rights to demand you take the COVID-19 vaccine. You have no rights to yourself. Funny, when it comes to abortion, it's a woman's right to choose, but when it comes to a vaccine, it is not. I don't care how you cut it, don't give me the argument, oh, but you're protecting other people. We don't even know. We're not even sure. And I'm also very suspect, as I said at the beginning of the program, that here on this Monday, the stock market climbs so high. Why? Because there's a vaccine that will be coming out that appears to be 90% effective. Wow. Didn't that change on a dime in less than 6 days after the election? And I don't care what anybody says, but I am convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt, this has been known. This has been known for, I would say, at least 2 weeks at minimum. This just didn't happen yesterday or last night. Big Pharma hates those that are not a part of the swamp, because, see, the swamp has kept Big Pharma well endowed with your money for a long time. When you look at the cost of prescription drugs, I understand the research and everything else involved. And I know some people out there that have medications paid for by their insurance that are $1,000 or more per month. I've heard of cases of medicines being $5,000 and $6,000 per month. And who gets that money? Big Pharma. And who pays it? The taxpayer, in many cases, or the insurance company. Yet those same prescription drugs cost a fraction of that cost in other nations. The United States has been patsies when it comes to the pharmaceutical industry for way too long. And I speak from my own experience with my late wife, dealing with a chemotherapy that was costing several thousand dollars per infusion for 26 weeks, put me in debt $250,000 before I knew what happened. That was 2004. So I'm aware of the money Big Pharma makes. I'm aware of what I call pill mills and these clinics that they live off insurance. And I have to wonder, where is it all leading? I'm also suspect about this election and the rush to declare Joe Biden the president-elect by, of course, I would understand it from ABC, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, and ABC. They're all morally, intellectually, and journalistically bankrupt. Anyway, they never asked Joe Biden the hard questions. Face it, they never did. They never asked him one difficult question, but they were out there trying to do a gotcha moment on Trump. They are as partisan as the day is long. They are not journalists anymore. They wouldn't even understand the word journalism. They're a bunch of rude, petulant little brats when they get into the White House press room. They take an industry that at one time had credibility, and they have trashed it for money and expedience. I don't trust someone that makes $1 million a month to tell me what I need to be doing with my life, especially when they don't even know how to run their own lives, morally and otherwise. They buy into every new wind that comes along that seems woke. Whether or not the efforts this week and the weeks after in trying to uncover the fraud, which I'm convinced you don't drop 138,399 ballots for one candidate suddenly in the middle of the night and expect me to believe it was an honest and fair race. I cannot, for the life of me, believe that at all. Sorry, I just can't. That is too far-fetched. There are too many statistical anomalies to believe this was truly a fair election. And the George Soros dream of mail-in ballots, well, he got them. And let the fraud begin. The American people are being deceived. And day by day, week by week, yeah, the economy will look great no matter what, the beginning of this coming year. They got to make Joe Biden look good if he actually gets in there. He can't be presiding a collapsing economy. No one's going to buy it. So now the vaccine will save us. And we talked about that, what, a couple of weeks ago here on this program. This is Truth to Ponder. I'm going to give you the mailing address because some people do use U.S. mail. And by the way, if you have sent me a letter in the next several days, I plan on writing you back. So be patient. Our mailing address is Truth to Ponder. And you can use our home address here in Georgia, 21 Berkshire Lane, in the little town of Sky Valley. Oh, by the way, add number 263. That's 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia. The zip code is 30537. That's 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.